be with you. This Lent, we have been using the metaphor of eyesight to examine how the various people in Mark's Gospel viewed Jesus during his Passion. In most cases, they misunderstood who he was and what he was doing, although sometimes, by faith, people did recognize him correctly. During these 40 days of Lent, we look within ourselves as people of faith. How are we like or unlike the people who saw Jesus in the flesh? Most important, we will see what Jesus has done to save us from our sins by his holy, precious blood and innocent sufferings and death. In this service, we consider sleepy eyes. In Gethsemane, Jesus' inner circle, Peter, James, and John, cannot keep their eyes open to watch and pray with him, even for 1 hour. How awake are we so we don't fall prey to temptation? Why does Jesus agree that his Father's will be done? We begin in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. I will lift up my eyes to the hills. From where does my help come?
My help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth.
The eyes of all look to you, and you give them their food in due season.
You open your hand, you satisfy the desire of every living thing.
Keep me as the apple of your eye.
Hide me in the shadow of your wings.
My eyes are ever toward the Lord.
For he will pluck my feet out of the net.
For I know that my Redeemer lives.
And at last he will stand upon the earth.
And after my skin has been thus destroyed,
yet in my flesh I shall see God,
whom I shall see for myself.
And my eyes shall behold and not another. My heart faints within me.
We confess our sins. We pray that Almighty God would have mercy upon us, forgive us our sins, and lead us to everlasting life. Almighty God, merciful Father, in holy baptism you declared us to be your children and gathered us into your holy Christian church, in which you daily and richly forgive us our sins and grant us new life through your Spirit. Be in our midst and live in our faith, and graciously receive our prayer and praise through your Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Psalm is Psalm 121. The psalmist is confident that the Lord will always watch over him. Behold, he who keeps Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. I lift up my eyes to the hills. From where does my help come?
My help comes from the Lord, who made heaven and earth.
He will not let your foot be moved.
He who keeps you will not slumber. He who keeps Israel will neither slumber nor sleep.
The Lord is your keeper.
The Lord is your shade on your right hand.
The sun shall not strike you by day,
nor the moon by night.
The Lord will keep you from all evil.
He will keep your life.
The Lord will keep your going out and your coming in,
from this time forth and forevermore.
He who keeps Israel will neither slumber
nor sleep.
The first reading comes from Romans chapter 13.
Paul urges us to stay awake, always conducting ourselves as we would in daylight, clothed, as it were, with the Lord Jesus Christ. Owe no one anything except to love each other, for the one who loves another has fulfilled the law. The commandments: you shall not commit adultery, you shall not murder, you shall not steal, you shall not covet, and any other commandment are summed up in this word: you shall love your neighbor as yourself. Love does no wrong to a neighbor, therefore love is fulfilling of the law. Besides this, you know the time, that the hour has come for you to wake from sleep, for salvation is nearer to us now than when we first believed. The night is far gone, the day is at hand, so then let us cast off the works of darkness and put on the armor of light. Let us walk properly as in the daytime, not in orgies and drunkenness, not in sexual immorality and sensuality, not in quarreling and jealousy, but put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh to gratify its desires. O Lord, have mercy on us.
Thanks be to God.
The second reading comes from Mark chapter 13.
Jesus urges us to be faithful, on guard, and awake. In Mark 13, he says, "But concerning that day or that hour, no one knows, not even the angels in heaven, nor the Son, but only the Father. Be on guard, keep awake, for you do not know when the time will come. It is like a man going on a journey, when he leaves home and puts his servants in charge, each with his work, commands the doorkeeper to stay awake. Therefore, stay awake, for you do not know when the master of the house will come, in the evening or at midnight, or when the cock crows, or in the morning, lest he come suddenly and find you asleep. And what I say to you, I say to all, stay awake."
This Lent, we are looking into the events of our Lord's Passion through the eyes of some of the people who witnessed it. Back then, three disciples near Jesus in Gethsemane slept as Jesus prayed. Today, we are speechless as Jesus awakens us to his Father's will for himself. The Holy Gospel comes from Mark chapter 14.
And they went to a place called Gethsemane, and he said to his disciples,
"Sit here while I pray."
And he took with him Peter and James and John, and began to be greatly distressed and troubled. And he said to them,
"My soul is very sorrowful, even unto death. Remain here and watch."
And going a little farther, he fell on the ground and prayed that, if it were possible, the hour might pass from him. And he said,
"Abba, Father, all things are possible for you. Remove this cup from me. Yet not what I will, but what you will."
And he came and found them sleeping. And he said to Peter,
"Simon, are you asleep? Could you not watch for 1 hour? Watch and pray that you may not enter into temptation. The spirit is indeed willing, but the flesh is weak."
And again he went away and prayed, saying the same words. And again he came and found them sleeping, for their eyes were very heavy, and they did not know what to answer him. And he came the third time and said to them,
"Are you still sleeping and taking your rest? It is enough. The hour has come. The Son of Man is betrayed into the hands of sinners. Rise, let us be going. See, my betrayer is at hand. O Lord, have mercy on us."
Thanks be to God.
Grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. During my time in the Navy, I spent a lot of days in classes from various schools that I attended. One of those was a one-week survival school. The first of the 3 days of the week, we were allowed to eat anything we could catch on the beach. Let me tell you that boiled grunion are not very appetizing. And seagulls are most likely impossible to catch. And further, lying on a cold, wet beach is not conducive to sleep. Then on the fourth day, we were taken out into the desert to simulate being in enemy territory where enemy soldiers were patrolling the area. I was captured almost immediately. That night it was difficult to get any sleep at all. Then very early the next morning, before sunrise, we were taken to a room to hear a propaganda lecture. It was during that boring lecture that sleep began to overtake me. At one point, I dozed off and almost fell off the bench where we were sitting. My sudden sleepy eyes brought the undesired attention from the enemy guards. It was only with the help of my fellow prisoners that I avoided falling asleep again. Perhaps you've had a similar experience of being so tired that you just couldn't stay awake. Your eyelids just couldn't stay open any longer. If you have experienced a similar situation, you can identify with Peter and James and John in our reading for this evening. Jesus had instructed them to wait and pray while he went a little farther also to pray. We don't know how long it had been since Peter, James, and John had gotten any sleep. No wonder they had sleepy eyes. It had been a hectic and exciting, but scary and confusing roller coaster week. Now, after the Last Supper, the hour was late. And besides that, what could be more sleep-inducing than watching another person pray? As far as their own praying went, well, we have all nodded off while we were praying. So in spite of Jesus' admonitions to stay and watch, they fell asleep. Indeed, it was wrong that they didn't do as Jesus told them. But let's be honest, we've all fallen asleep too. This is not the time for self-righteousness and Peter, James, and John bashing. Even we believers are sleepyheads. No matter how willing our spirit, it cannot overcome the weakness of our sinful flesh. Our spirit is willing, but our body is weak. On the other hand, this scene identifies Jesus as the Lord of Israel, the one who neither slumbers nor sleeps. His eyes were set only on doing God's will. When it came time for all righteousness to be fulfilled, for all the sin of the world to be paid for, Jesus was the only one who could accomplish that feat. He had to persevere through the home stretch of his active obedience. Only his suffering the pangs of hell could accomplish his mission. Finally, only he could sleep the sleep of death for us humans and for our salvation. Our passion reading points out Jesus' mental state. We see him in the Garden of Gethsemane, sorrowful and troubled, the weight of the world's sins pressing down mightily upon him. He fell down in weakness and trembling, praying, "Abba, Father, all things are possible for you. Remove this cup from me." The cup of which Jesus spoke was the suffering and death he was about to experience. In his humanity, it is understandable that Jesus feared what was just ahead. He prayed that he would not have to drink the cup of God's wrath. He knew that it was possible for his Father to change things. Jesus didn't deserve death. He didn't deserve to suffer God's wrath. So his prayer certainly wasn't cowardly or faithless. It was a prayer of faith in the God for whom all things are possible. You may have noticed that I left out some essential words from Jesus' prayers. He didn't stop with, "If it be possible, let this cup pass from me." He continued, "Yet not my will, but yours be done." Twice he prayed, "If this cannot pass, your will be done." And the Father answered his son's prayer. Well, it was possible for the Father to remove the cup. The Father's will was for Jesus to suffer so that you and I might be spared God's wrath. God answered by giving his Son the strength to accept his good and gracious will. And Jesus willingly went into captivity when Judas showed up to betray him. Moments later, Jesus points out that all this was done so the scriptures might be fulfilled. The prophet Isaiah had foretold of this event with these words, "Stricken, smitten by God, and afflicted for our transgressions, crushed for our iniquities, cut off out of the land of the living, stricken for this transgression of God's people." Even though he had done no violence and no lies were upon his lips. And Isaiah goes on, "It was the will of the Lord to crush him. He was put to grief." You see, it was the Father's will to crush his own Son, to make him an offering for the guilt of our sin. It is difficult for us who are parents to wrap our minds around this concept. We are tormented when we see our own children suffer. How could the Father love us sinners enough to pour out his wrath against his own Son? We must accept this news with awe and thanksgiving. We must simply trust God's word, which says God's good and gracious will was to love and sacrifice his only begotten Son. But we know the rest of the story. We know the women and the disciples found the tomb empty. We know Jesus appeared to the disciples in a locked room. We know he gazed upon them with living eyes. We know he said, "Peace be with you." Through all this, Jesus had eyes only for his Father's will. Through his passion, he fulfilled what he had told his disciples in John chapter 6. "I have come down from heaven, not to do my own will, but to do the will of him who sent me, that everyone who looks on the Son and believes in him should have eternal life." The good and gracious will of God is that you set your eyes on the Son, that you believe in him, that you receive the free gift of eternal life. With that good news in mind, you can fall asleep in peace tonight and every night. You can awake to serve him each morning. And when your eyes eventually go to sleep in death, you can be confident that you will awaken to everlasting life. Amen. Now may the peace that surpasses all understanding keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Amen. We continue with the prayer of the church. The eyes of all look to you, and you give them their food in due season. Let us pray for the church around the world, ourselves, and all people in their various needs. We pray for all who struggle with unemployment or underemployment as a result of the virus, for those with poor living conditions or displacement from homes, for those with personal demons or ill health. Lord, in your mercy. We pray for all the people in authority in our community, state, and nation, whose decisions affect the health and safety of their inhabitants. Lord, in your mercy. We pray for all who serve the Lord as they care for others. We pray especially for medical personnel and first responders who endanger their health each day. Protect them and keep them safe. For counselors and advisors, friends and neighbors, professionals and volunteers who serve those around them, grant them your peace. Lord, in your mercy. Keep us as the apple of your eye, O Lord. Hide us under the shadow of your wings. Keep us strong in body, mind, and spirit. Lord, in your mercy. Into your hands, Heavenly Father, we commend ourselves and all for whom we pray, trusting in your mercy and praying that your good and gracious will be done for the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Taught by our Lord and trusting in his promises, we are bold to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Guide us waking, O Lord, and guard us sleeping, that awake we may watch with Christ, and asleep we may rest in peace. The blessing of Almighty God, the Father, who saw mankind's hopeless condition, the Son, who showed the depth of God's love, and the Holy Spirit, who has opened our eyes of faith in Christ, be upon you now and forever. Amen. I want to thank my wife, Anne, and daughter, Carrie Anne, for their help in preparing this service. I also want to thank Keith Moore and Ann Capps for spending several hours recording the music you heard during this service today. They were played on the piano at church, and we have some more music that has been recorded on the organ at church as well. We should be hearing that in the service for this coming Sunday. Go in peace, stay awake, serve the Lord.